Once I have sworn by my holiness, God says, I will not lie to David, his seed, Israel, his seed shall endure forever. How long is forever? It's forever. You don't have to look that up in the Hebrew or the Greek. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We pray that your Monday is going well, and we're so glad you've tuned in today. Pastor Bill is currently teaching a series from the Epistle of Romans, and today he teaches the conclusion to the message he began on Friday, Has God Rejected Israel? Let's listen in.
He says, being a wild olive tree, speaking of the Gentiles, look what happened to us. We're grafted in among them, meaning grafted in among Israel, and with them became a partaker of the what? Who's the root? I just told you. Who's the root? Abraham. Okay? Of the root and the fatness, meaning that sap and the richness and all that, of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. Don't boast against these unbelieving Jews. But if you do boast, remember that you, Gentile, you, Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, all of us, you do not support the root. In Abraham, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? From him comes the Messiah. Okay? You don't support the root. Look what happens. But the root supports you. What did Jesus say in John 4:22? He says, salvation is of the Jews. See, we're Gentiles. The church has been Gentile for so long, we think that, you know, the Jews are excluded. No, they're not excluded at all. We were grafted in, loved one. Listen, when the church started, was it Jewish? On the day of Pentecost, all those people, was it Jewish? Yes. The apostles, were they Jewish? Yes. We were grafted in. And I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. Listen, we better never, ever, ever get a big head and boast and be proud and all that. That's wrong. That's sinful. No, listen. We never need to forget ever how much we owe Israel. Because see, we were grafted in. We who were hopeless and helpless outside of the promises of God. Not any longer. We were grafted in. And then it says in verse 19, and you will say then, well, watch this. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And Paul goes, oh, okay, well said, okay. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand, meaning the Gentiles, you stand by faith. In other words, not by works. We simply believe in Jesus Christ, amen? And boy, we are saved. He says, don't you be haughty. Now listen, that is a warning to us, the Gentile church. He says, don't you be haughty, you know, prideful, conceited, filled with pride. He says, but you better fear. You better stand in awe in the fear of God here. Have a proper respect. He says, because for if God did not spare the natural branches, the ones who had the adoption, the temple, the priest, the law, all of that, he says, he may not spare you either. Meaning because of your pride and your boasting. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail. Severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. Now, that's not speaking of the loss of salvation. That's speaking to the loss of those who they don't come to the Lord. If you don't believe in Christ, you can't be saved. Just like the branches that were broken off. Are you following me? Okay, with all that being said, this is so important that we grasp this. You know, was the law given to us? No, we're Gentiles. You know, some of us are German, some of us are African, some of us are Irish, some of us are from Arkansas. I don't think so, but, you know, some of us want the Patriots to win. I'm not even going to watch the game. Where was I? No, listen, this verse, I know we don't study this out a lot. I know the church neglects this. I know that's not your favorite reading, okay? But this is so vital that we learn from this. You know, there's not one chapter in the Bible that is not incredible. And whenever you read it, you say, there's nothing there. You know what you need to do? You need to do what I do. When I read it, I say, I don't get it. I don't think there's anything there. That's when you need to dig. You dig and you dig. And you know what you're going to do when you keep digging? You're going to find a nugget and you're going to go, oh, Lord, I just changed from glory to glory. I'm growing up because I'm renewing my mind. Amen? Yes. Now, with all that being said, this verses that I just covered are so important because so many Gentiles are deceived today in the church. And what do I mean by that? I mean that if you really and truly are honest and you look back at the Gentile church for the last 2,000 years, we have failed more than the nation of Israel. Oh, that went over well. Oh, no, listen, not only that, we don't need to boast because are we in the church today? Do we have wheat and tares? We sure do. Well, they had them back then, too. We have nothing to brag about. Matter of fact, somebody said this, Dr. George Gill said, some churches will meet on Sunday morning after the rapture, and they won't miss a member. I want to challenge you to do something, because we're Gentiles. You know, and at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, remember, they said, okay, well, the Jews are not under the law. Why do we want to put all these heavy burdens on them that we couldn't keep anyway? He says, let's just tell them no fornication, no adultery, all of that, and keep yourself eating things that, with the blood. Remember? That's it. Okay, I don't like blood anyway. Do you? No. So, I mean, we're not under the law. We are under grace. The law has no dominion over us because we're under grace. We're not the Jews. We're Gentiles. We were grafted in. Praise God. I'm so thankful. Now, with all that being said, I challenge you to do a study of the church today, the Gentile church, okay? Do a study. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find out how messed up we're going to be. As a matter of fact, how messed up the church is even right now. You know, because we know if we study out those prophecies, we find that really and truly, as it says in the book of Revelation, there are actually only two churches left on the planet today. And everyone is either in one or the other. One is Laodicea. The other is the Church of Philadelphia, which will be kept from the hour of trial that will come upon this whole planet, meaning we are going to escape the great tribulation period because the Church of Philadelphia, the church that loves one another, they're going to be removed in the rapture. Laodicea is not, because they're an apostate church. Now, with all that being said, listen to some of the prophecies, the scriptures, of what's happening in the Gentile church at the end of the age, and I believe we are at the end of the age. It says in Matthew 24:10, Jesus said, and many, many in the church, many believers, there will be offended. They're going to fall away, betray one another, and they're going to hate one another. Hello? Does that sound familiar? Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, he says, because lawlessness will abound. He says, the love of many, the word there is agape, only used for the church and God, not unbelievers. Those many, you know, the love of many, those who profess Christ will wax cold. In other words, the love of lawlessness, the love of things that are evil will be greater than the love for one another. We are living in those times. 1 Timothy 4:1, speaking about the Gentile church. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith or literally fall away from true Christianity, giving heed to the deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, that's not teaching about demons. That's demons teaching through human host. Think about that. 1 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they, meaning the church, they will no longer endure sound doctrine or healthy teaching. Boy, that are we living in that time? Yes. It says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to myths, to fairy tales. Boy, that's where we are today, I am telling you. Let me give you one more about the last day. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the, that's a specific, not a, but the, falling away comes first. Falling away from what? The truth of God's word. And then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. That occurs after the rapture. Now listen, there is absolutely no hope for the Gentile apostate church. None whatsoever. But there is hope for the apostate Israel. Think about that for a minute. Oh, absolutely. That's why we don't want to boast. I want to ask you a question. You know, when we say Old Testament, what does that really mean? Old what? Thank you. I'm worried about this. You know I love you. I'm teasing. It means Old Covenant. When I say New Testament, what am I really saying? New Covenant. Who was the Old Covenant given to? Who was the New Covenant given to? You need to go do your homework. No, the New Covenant was given unto the Jews. Oh, Bill, prove it. Thank you. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. What is he going to do? He is going to write his law in their minds and write it upon their hearts. In other words, the table of stones was external. You know, thou shalt not. But now he takes that when you're born from above, he writes his laws, he writes the word, he inscribes with his own finger of God upon our own hearts. We're born again. Stony heart is gone. Amen. Listen, it was given to the Jews. We are grafted in. We are partakers. Yes, we have a great high priest. He's Jewish. Do you follow what I'm getting at? You see, we're kind of haughty, aren't we? Kind of proud. Listen, that's why all the Calvary chapels, that's why we're such strong supporters of the nation of Israel, because we know they are God's prophetic timepiece, or clock, if you will. I don't know how close it is, but man, it's closer than it has ever been. Amen? Now, with all that being said, watch verse 23. And they also, meaning the unbelieving Jews, Paul says, if they do not continue in unbelief, what's going to happen to them? Hey, they're going to be grafted in, okay? Why? For God is able to graft them in again. We know that happens at the end of the Great Tribulation period. Now, for you were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree. How much more will these, meaning Israel, who are the natural branches, meaning the descendants of Abraham, be grafted into their own olive tree. Listen, God says it's going to happen. Why? God's promise to Israel is certain. Why is that? Because of the roots. The roots, it's plural, Abraham. The covenant God made was to Abraham. Then it was made to Isaac. Then it was made to Jacob. Amen? It is always has been an everlasting, eternal covenant. Now watch this in verse 25. This is very important. Paul says, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this, what?
Mystery.
That's something that's concealed, God has concealed, but is now revealed. Of this mystery, okay, what is it? Lest you be wise in your own opinion, watch this, that blindness, not completely, but blindness, the hardening of the heart, in part has happened to Israel, and there's that incredible word, until. That means there is a divine time limit on the hardening of their hearts, okay? It says, until the fullness, that means the full number, the total completion, the fullness of the Gentiles has what? Come in. What in the world are we talking about? God just told us in the Word that the blindness, the hardening of the heart of Israel, it's temporary. It's temporary. It's not eternal. He hasn't cast them away. It's only until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Their blindness, Israel's blindness, began when they rejected, the nation rejected Jesus as their Messiah. But it ends when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles from Pentecost, the birth of the church, until the rapture. Then we're all, the true church is then removed, called up to be in the air with the Lord, okay? Now, you know that the rapture and the second coming are totally different. I don't have time to go through every aspect of it, but during the rapture, Christ comes for the church. At the second coming, he comes for Israel. In the rapture of the church, we all meet him in the air. At the second coming, Jesus touches the earth. He comes down. You follow the difference. The rapture is about the church. The second coming is about Israel. Yes. When all the nations of the earth are surrounding them, wanting to destroy them. Oh, listen, this mystery here. You know, one day, I guess, if I'm not mistaken, there's going to be that last Gentile. I mean, it could be today. And God says, now you're saved. Now it's complete. Now you're coming home. The church age has ended. Amen? And then the 70th week of Daniel, the seven-year tribulation period, it begins. Now listen, let's not be confused with the times of the Gentiles, okay, and the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles, again, has to do with the last one coming in, the fullness of completion. But the times of the Gentiles are different. Let me read it to you from Luke 21, 24. When Jesus said, talking about Jerusalem, they will fall by the edge of the sword. They'll be led away captive into all the nations. That happened, remember, AD 70. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now listen, the times of the Gentiles actually began in 586 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, they came in, remember, and what did they do to Jerusalem? They leveled it, man, and they took all of them into what we call the 70-year of the Babylonian captivity. But the times of the Gentile, it finally ends when? At the second coming. Then it's all over with. Jesus is ruling then. Now, look at verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, and he's going to quote Isaiah 59, 20 through 21. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant. It is with them, God says, my covenant, when I take away their sins. Isaiah 43, 25, God blots out their sins. This happens at the second coming. Now, all of Israel, it's a certainty, divine certainty, they're going to be saved. But it doesn't mean when he says all of Israel, it doesn't mean every Jew is going to be saved. There's only going to be a remnant that's going to be saved at the end of the age, okay, when Christ returns. Let me give you the scripture and tell you how many. It says in Zechariah 13, 8, it shall come to pass in the land, saith the Lord, that two-thirds in it will be cut off and die, but one-third will be left in it, and I will bring one-third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I'm going to answer them and say, this is my people. And each one will say, this is my God. That day is future, and it's going to happen. Verse 28, quickly. Concerning the gospel, they, meaning Israel, their enemies for your sake. Concerning the election, which speaks of grace here, not choosing people. It says, they're beloved. They're beloved. God says, I love them. Why? For the sake of the fathers. Remember the root, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, so God is forever bound to Israel because he loves them, and he's given them that unconditional promise made to Abraham. Why did that occur? Look at the next verse. For the gifts and the callings of God are what? They're irrevocable. Absolutely nothing can prevent Israel from being restored and saved to God. Nothing. It's irrevocable. You know, we use this for us. That's really written to the Jew. Did you know that? That's what this scripture is for. Listen, it cannot be broken. Irrevocable. It cannot be withdrawn. It cannot be changed. That's why God says in Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Meaning, I'll never, ever change what I promised. Are you with me? If he doesn't save Israel, we're not saved. Boy, I'm telling you, you better, oh, that's so important. Verse 30, quickly now. It says, for you, the Gentiles, you were once disobedient to God. You've now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, and through mercy shown you, they will also obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. In other words, we have all sinned. Amen. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus came to die for our sins. He loves us so much. God sent his only begotten son. Listen, oh, I'm so thankful that he did that. And listen, now what happens? Paul, when he penned that last scripture there that I just read, something happened to Paul. I believe that he was like caught, man, he was in the spirit. I mean, without a doubt. And he was so awestruck. He was like a mountain climber that climbs up into a mountain and you look out and go, oh my gosh, you see everything. You know, I have a dear friend, he's a board member here, a board trustee, he lives in the Woodlands. He is the Iron Man? Okay, I don't know all about the Iron Man, you can tell, can't you? Hello. But he does the triathlon. Man, he's built. Okay. He does the swimming. He does the bike. He does whatever they do. I wouldn't do any of it, but I love him. He's a great guy. Okay. He went climbing up to Mount Hood. Now, I don't know why anyone would want to do that. You know, you have to have the guides and so forth. It's dangerous. You could die. Storm could come in. You'd freeze to death, man. I mean, if you want to do that, it's okay. Don't tempt God. Anyway, so he's climbing Mount Hood, and he's got all the guides with him and a whole bunch of people. And you have to climb only at night because in the day, the sun comes out. It may melt the ice, and you could fall, I guess, a long way. So he says, man, Bill, he said, 1 o'clock, here we are. I think he said 75 feet from the summit. He said, everything in my body is on fire and aching. I can barely breathe. I see the summit right there. I just have a few steps, and he comes down. He can't do it. He couldn't go on. Paul did go on. He got to the top in these 30-some-odd verses, loved one. And when he finished, he was awestruck with what he saw and what God showed him. That's why in this doxology, look what Paul does. He says, oh, say that with me. Oh, man, that's a good word. He says, oh, listen, the depth, oh, the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Past finding out literally in the Greek would mean you can't trace them. It'd be like trying to trace footsteps on the ocean. Can you do that? No, it's impossible. And that's what Paul is saying. It's blowing him away. And he says, oh, listen. He says, who's known the mind of the Lord? Who's become his counselor? We know the answer to that. Who? No one. Everybody tries to tell God what to do, though, don't they? Huh? Let me give you some advice, God. I said, shut up. No. It says, or who is first given to him, and who shall be repaid by him or to him? What have we really ever given to God? Listen, we're Gentiles. We weren't part of the covenant. Now we are. We're sons and daughters of God. We're never going to be left, never be forsaken. All of our sins are forgiven. Man, God is so good to us. He didn't have to do that. He said, no, I'm going to put Israel aside just for a little bit. I have a remnant because I want you. I want you. I want every person, no matter who you are. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. And one day when you get to heaven, you will really know what that means. Amen. Oh, that's so good. Listen, what have we given to God? We haven't given anything to God. He's given us everything. He says, look at this. For of him and through him. In other words, God is the source of everything. God is the sustainer. Our Savior is the sustainer of everything. And to him are what? All things. All things belong to him. And to whom be glory forever. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Now listen, I know it's time to go, but I want to say one more thing to you. I know this is like a history lesson this morning. We're going to get into chapter 12 now. We're going to get back in, you know, from whatever. Did you like that explanation? The covenant that God made with Abraham. I'm not through now. Hold on. The covenant that God made with Abraham is 4,000 years old. 4,000 years old. 1,000 years later, God reconfirms his covenant with David. Listen, it's from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. I look at that and I say, oh God, I'll tell you. Has God cast away, rejected, totally disowned Israel? Oh, dear Lord. No, the covenant that he made with Abraham, that God sustains himself, not predicated upon man and what they do, but upon God's faithfulness. The same for us. Listen, God's covenant is not only everlasting. It's not only eternal. It's not only irrevocable. It's not only immutable. It is forever and ever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more from his Romans series, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate your time today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.